You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee, the show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee, and in the studio with me is Miss Ronnie V.
Hello, hello.
And Miss Tanae.
What it is?
Okay, so we got a lot to talk about, guys. Now, what I didn't, what we didn't talk about last week was, remember two shows ago, remember when Ariel said that one of her friends bought the same Jeep as her?
She didn't buy it. She rented it.
Okay, but you said she got the same Jeep as you, and you were upset about it.
But
so remember, we put
it.
Out the court. Yours ain't paid for.
It is.
Oh, okay. Well, she driving.
Bring that bell.
She's driving the same car you are driving, and you had a problem with it. And we asked the audience about, you know, would they have a problem if a friend of theirs got the same car?
No, but
as they got.
Let me say this, audience. I know y'all will have Tanae's back now.
Okay. Well, people wrote in, and so I'm gonna read some of the comments. The first one is Jamie B from Redding, California. He says, would not bother me in the least bit.
Stop lying, Jamie.
Not at all. He says, someone actually has an issue with this? Laugh out loud. That is hilarious.
And Jamie, send in a picture of yourself, please. I will show you hilarious.
Rodney P. from Washington, D.C. said, not really. Just think it would be odd, but I wouldn't get upset about it.
It is odd. Thank you, Rodney. It's very strange.
Okay. All right. Now, hold on. I've got more. Don't do that. So Priscilla Little writes, I do not see a problem with a friend getting the same car. I think maybe the friend may look up to you or admire you. Why is it a problem for people to like the same things you like? People need to get over themselves. Mm. Do you know how many cars they make like the one you got? If she's your friend, then it should not have bothered you. But if it did, then you may want to look up what kind of friend you are, because some may think you are jealous.
And where's she at right now?
Don't know where she is. And then Paul Miller said, he said, I agree. I would not be upset about it. He said, perhaps it should be taken as a form of flattery. He said, they obviously like your taste.
Well, tonight I have a smack in the face for all of you.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I am no longer upset. You know, I've come to the conclusion that if I'm a real friend to her, I'm going to support her. And I'm happy that she's able to have a reliable car that works for her, because I know her situation and she didn't have that to begin with. You know, it's like her car that she had kind of had little troubles with it. So she was able to get a new car, and she, you know, she's blessed for that. And I had to really apologize to her because of my behavior. And, yeah, we're cool. Now, I have not yet seen the car, have not rolled in the car. I'm a little shaky about seeing it, because if it's better than mine, I might be a little jealous, y'all. I'm not even going to lie.
You said it's the same one that you have. So
it's a different color.
Oh, so she did not get you said it was the same color,
no,
make, and model.
She told me that she did not go through with getting it painted black because she thought of my feelings. You know, that's a good friend. And I want to be a great friend to her.
So it's a good friend.
I believe Tanae's lying.
I do too.
No,
so
I'm so serious.
So she's a good friend because she considered your feelings about the car that she was going to buy.
Yes, and I don't know.
But she wasn't a good friend when she was going to buy a black car.
Correct.
Tanae, you sound like a selfish friend.
Okay, you know what? We've had this conversation before about me being selfish. Let me get this very clear. I am not a selfish person. I am a selfless person. I give to others all the time. I have my support there for my friends and family.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I may love myself.
Uh-huh.
So excuse me for loving myself a little bit more than I love you, but okay. I love myself before anything.
All right. Okay.
Selfish.
Selfish.
Aggressive.
Okay. Ramsey Orta. Do you guys know who Ramsey Orta is? Ramsey Orta was the guy who filmed the police choking Eric Garner. He was just sentenced. He was just sentenced to 4 years in jail for drug and weapons possessions. Now, Ramsey was telling people that he was being harassed by the police. So people are just saying it's like it's funny that, you know, he can go to jail for something and that but the officer who killed Eric Garner is set free. So I just thought that was very odd. He never denied it. He didn't deny that he did it. But it's just he was just saying but he did say that they were harassing him. He said that even after, you know, he set the tape on social media. He said the police started harassing him immediately afterward. So he's not saying that they planted, you know, drugs and weapons, but he's saying that, you know, that they kind of harassed him. So I think it's kind of odd that, you know, they can give him 4 years, but the guy who killed Eric Garner, the officer, is set free. Yeah. Nothing happened to him. Y'all know how I always talk about, like, Republicans being synonymous with Christians, and people think that, you know, the Republicans are the
Christians.
Right, the Christians and the family values and, you know, the Christian values. This guy wrote in to the paper. I didn't get a chance to read this last week, but he said, you know what an evangelical is, right? Yeah. It's like a Christian, you know, they call them evangelicals is what they call them.
Oh, I'm like angelic.
Right, like an evangelist.
Oh, okay.
Evangelical.
I knew what that was. I didn't know what you mean.
So here's what he said. He said, I am an evangelical, or at least I thought I was. Now I'm trying to figure out who the evangelicals are. When I was a young fellow, I'm now 84, a movie opened named Gone with the Wind. During the movie, Clark Gable had a line that said, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. The evangelical community was so shocked by the use of this word in the movie that it begged for a public boycott. So fast forward to 2016 and the election of a president for our country. One of the candidates has on national TV said they can go blank themselves.
Ooh.
They can kiss my blank.
Ooh.
I will bomb the blank out of them, and I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and not lose any voters. I recently saw a picture on the front page of the News and Observer of a red cap on a baby that said Babies for Trump. How in the world can evangelicals and parents line up behind such a candidate? If this is where evangelicals are today, I guess I'm not an evangelical at all. Am I this much out of touch with where the church is today as representatives of Jesus Christ? And y'all know I've always said that. How can they be behind this man who says these things, you know, on TV, calling women pigs and you know, how can he? I don't see anything Christian about Donald Trump.
Me either.
I don't see. I really don't. I don't see anything Christian about him. So it's just funny how the evangelicals like flocking behind him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know how I feel about Trump. I'm not gonna say anything about him.
Yeah. I don't understand it either, because it's something wrong. Obviously.
Yeah.
I would think anybody with common sense could just look at the TV, look at the behavior, and you see it right there. So, I mean, what is that a question? I mean, you can't even say, well, maybe he didn't mean it. No, he said it plenty of times in different ways and is proud of it.
Plenty of times. And said.
So you have to question these people who are following him. Do they have the same mindset, the same morals?
I would think so. I mean, don't you follow the candidate that you agree with, that you identify the most with?
Yeah.
Isn't that what voting is about? You want that candidate that you feel that has your best interest at heart.
And represents you.
Exactly. So he must be representing something.
Did you see the something on Facebook when it says, you remember when your grandma used to say, don't stand beside someone that lies because they might get struck by lightning. And every time he opened his mouth, he was.
I saw it. It's amazing with him. I don't understand. The election is November 8th. I mean, that's just next month. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just over a little over a month before we go to the polls. I've already voted. I voted absentee, so I don't need to go stand in the lines.
Whatever.
So
you didn't go stand in
lines anyway. Yes, I did. I stood in line for Barack. So I just stood in line for Hill. That's what I call it. We call each other. She called me Lily. She called me Lily. I call her Hill.
No, Lily sounds like you.
Whatever. So Wells Fargo, you guys are not Wells Fargo.
Absolutely not.
What is going on with Wells Fargo?
My company banks with them. Stealing people's money.
You who?
My company banks.
Oh my God. So they've been fined $185 million because employees open millions of unauthorized accounts to meet sales goals. So they opened accounts in the people's names without the people knowing. So these accounts were open as a result that resulted in customers being charged late fees. They were charged fees because, you know, most accounts, you know, they do some type of convenience fee or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And these people, they were charging these people.
And they didn't even know they had an account.
Didn't even know that they even had these accounts. So what they're saying that you should do if you are a Wells Fargo customer is you need to go through your account with a fine tooth comb. I mean, you really need to go, and they say go back like 4 or 5 years because apparently they're not sure like how many years, you know, this has been going on.
Were they doing just individual people or were they doing like business?
People, okay. Individual people. And then they say check your credit score to see if any credit cards were open without your consent. I mean, I can't even imagine that.
Y'all got to call. I think they open up.
No.
Wait, you don't even have Wells Fargo.
Your score is what it is.
you actually have to have an account with Wells Fargo in order.
You sure? Because I think they open. I think they open up a couple. I think they did.
Okay. Well, if you can prove it, then you know, go on.
Yeah. It's not about what's the truth. What you can prove in court.
That's true. Kim Kardashian. Did you guys hear about Kim Kardashian?
Mm-hmm. I think about it. Thoughts.
She was robbed at gunpoint in her Paris apartment. She was in Paris.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bible.
This is redact.
Bible. She was robbed. Bible. I was robbed.
Bible. I'm going to call Ye.
Well, he was in New York. I'll get to that. She was in Paris for Fashion Week with her sisters and her mom. Her sister Kendall, of course, being the big model that she is. She was walking in one of the fashion shows. Five men dressed as police officers were involved, but only two stormed her apartment, tied her up, and took over $10 million in jewelry. Can you imagine $10 million?
And you know what? This is not the first time that something has happened with people stealing their jewelry or stealing something from them.
Well, here's my thing. Why are you traveling with that much, you know, with that
And why you don't have jewelry? A safe in the room?
Because they can. They shouldn't have to. People shouldn't be in there That's robbing
true.
Their stuff.
That is true. But we know what kind of world we live in.
Who would think that somebody would come in and rob her?
At 3 a.m.
People who get robbed. People who get robbed.
Yeah, outside, not in their homes.
She was in a motel.
Ronnie V, a whole lot of people get robbed in their homes.
They get robbed outside.
It's called home invasion.
Most of the time when people do home invasions and stuff, people are gone. They come back and their stuff
Well, it's
gone.
Not a home invasion. Home invasion means the people are actually at
they
home.
They tying them up and stuff.
That's what I mean. That's what they did to her. They tied her up. They tied her up and locked her in the bathroom.
Yeah, so I thought I read that she was in a bathtub or something. They put her in a bathtub.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah,
she was dirty. The party tried to clean her.
Whatever. Anyway, so they said that she was badly shaken but not physically harmed. Now Kanye was doing a concert in New York at the time
and arrived late to it. By the way,
yeah, why arrives? I hear he arrives late to a lot of concerts.
I really don't understand.
He got that coin to do it.
Yeah, well, and he stopped the show in the middle of the show and left to go, you know, tend to
Kimberly.
You know, to Kim. You know, $10 million to us, we're like, oh my God. To them, I mean.
No, it don't matter.
That's really not a lot of money.
Somebody take $5, we're going to have a problem.
Because
$2 from you, Ronnie V.
Kim.
That's right.
2 cents to me. Don't steal nothing from me.
Let me go ahead and put these quarters back there.
Let me find out you stole something from me. Let me find out.
What's going to do? Boss.
Kim and Kanye are both plenteous in coin. Plenteous in coin.
Don't matter.
And for those who don't know what that means they have a lot of money. They have a lot of money. So, you know, but again, it's her stuff. You know, she bought it. You know, it's not right for somebody to try to steal it. All I'm saying is, and where were her bodyguards?
And then I heard that the, what is it, concierge let them up.
No, but the other three were holding him hostage. So, you know, and told him, we're going to blow your head off.
But if they was dressed as a police officer, why wouldn't you let him up?
Well, police officers wouldn't be holding a gun to you saying, where's Kim Kardashian? What apartment is Kim Kardashian? Yeah.
Okay, so where's the hotel security? Where's her bodyguard?
Well, it wasn't a hotel. It was an apartment.
Oh, so they did like the little, what is it called? The Airbud?
What is it?
Airbnb?
Well, I'm pretty sure, you know, Kanye spends a lot of time in Paris, so I'm pretty sure he probably bought a place.
Oh, okay.
Over there. I'm not sure. It didn't say it, but this was like an apartment. This wasn't a hotel. So, you know, I don't know. I tell you guys, that's just kind of scary to me. That's just out of control scary. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back in just a moment. You are tuned in to This Is How We See It. We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Talking about Kim Kardashian and her ordeal in Paris, France, when men dressed as police officers stormed her apartment and took $10 million in jewelry. I don't know.
Foolery.
Yeah, it is. Did you guys see Michelet on the Wendy Williams show? She says that she talks like that because she talks over her larynx. I don't know what that means.
I think it's when people sing, they kind of get these, what is it, like the things on their vocal cords when they sing like very high. Mariah has it too. That's why she's always like this when she's talking.
No, she's just trying to be over the top.
I don't think she talks so. Like that.
Who, Mariah Carey?
Have her Michelle A. movie came out yet?
No, well, let's talk about it.
Yes, we have to. I found some juicy details.
So she was on Wendy yesterday, and she's got a movie on Lifetime that's coming out this fall. That is not no date yet, but it's coming out in the fall. So what we learned is that she is in a relationship. She was in a relationship with Dr. Dre and Suge Knight. She's got a son by Dr. Dre and a daughter by Suge Knight. And what surprised me, though, was how she talked about how they used to beat her.
Hold on. Let's rewind it. Mm-hmm. You said she has a son.
She has a son by Dr. Dre mm-hmm. and a daughter by Suge Knight.
What? That's like having a baby with 50 Cent and with P. Diddy. Do you know, they're two of my rivals when it comes to the Ciroc and the Effie. And then Dr.
What's Effie?
Effie is 50 Cent's alcohol drink.
Oh, I didn't know he had one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she talked about how Dr. Dre used to beat her down.
He was beating a lot of people.
Like in front of people. Like they said
Dr.
that
Dre.
She would, yes, she said Suge Knight only hit her one time. And then she said, he said, you too little for me to be beaten on.
You know what?
But she said,
"Is that
Dre
gonna be portrayed in the movie?"
I think so.
Because from a friend of mine, I don't know if it's true, but my friend Shaquan, baby mama, sister, daddy, cousin.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
Okay,
you know that's how all gossip stories start off. But no, I heard that Dr. Dre had basically threatened her, said, "You're not gonna put this image out." And, you know, he would sue her for defamation of character.
Well, Suge Knight told her that he told her from jail.
Oh, okay.
He said,
well,
if you portray me wrong, I'm gonna sue you.
But what if she betrayed the truth?
Betrayed the truth, and then Wendy was like, yeah, how are you going to prove it? And she said, there were plenty of people that watched him beat me.
Mm-hmm. Dr.
Dre. Okay. She said that, because Wendy said, what about Ice Cube? She said the Ice Cube.
Ice Cube. Mm-hmm.
She said Ice Cube never saw him beat her. Mm-hmm. She said, but other people saw plenty. Mm-hmm. He beat her, but she was singing this song. She was recording it, and she wasn't singing it right. And she said he beat her
now, that's some in the studio. Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So the movie is called Surviving Compton, Dre, Suge, and Me. And she said that the reason that she did it was because she wasn't portrayed at all in Straight Outta Compton. So she said that right, they said they just left her out completely. And she said, you know, but I have a story. I'm part of this.
But why use them? Why can't it just be your story?
Because
is her story.
Yeah, her story.
But why put their name on it?
Because they're part of her story. Because she was signed to Death Row. I never really liked her music anyway. Something in my heart was okay. But all the rest of that stuff, like, I really didn't like her voice. I didn't really think she could sing.
So what did her voice sound like?
When she sang, her voice was normal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she has a normal singing voice. But when she talks, she talks like this.
So what
like
is,
Precious.
Who's Precious?
Precious got a voice like that.
Gabourey Sidibe.
Not as high.
Mm. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I think I might have to watch this. I might have to watch this movie.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. there's a daycare called New Creation Child Care in Lexington, Kentucky. It is being monitored by the state after kids told their parents that two male teachers played a game called Smack for a Snack. They were told that if they wanted a snack, they would have to line up and get hit on their hand or legs with a ruler.
By the teacher.
By the daycare teacher. The employees involved were cited by police for second degree assault. Investigators say some of the children still had bruises on their body.
See, you don't have a one time for my child to tell me something about someone and
smack for a snack.
Me and be playing a game, so I run for your life.
Like, parents, please be careful about these daycares.
Yeah, I pop up at my son's daycare all the time.
You should always pop up.
They don't know it. I walk in the same way, same time. Okay, I see you when I come back. They bye. Pop up at 2 o'clock.
Exactly.
Oh, hi, Ms. Poole.
Exactly. You should always pop up at a daycare and talk to your child.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Ask them about, you know, what happened today. You know what, you know, because I mean, this is ludicrous. I mean, first of all, why are two males working at a daycare, really? I mean,
well,
something might be.
Don't be sexist.
No, I'm not sexist. I'm just saying I might be a little
weary.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, maybe that might be a little sexist, but
it is.
You know, I don't mean to be, but and why are they even I can't even think about that. Like, I can't even fathom that. For a snack.
Like, did they think? I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that could be. I can't even say. I can't even
wrap my mind around this.
I can't either. I can't. Like, why play this game? Like, you what know, was the purpose of it?
You know what? As a parent, I make sure I talk to my child each day after daycare. Before we leave that door, what did you do today? He had but one time to tell me, well, my teacher, I point him out.
Exactly.
And I confront that teacher in front of my child. I said, hey, you know, this is what happened today. My son told me this and that. I want to know what happened from your part. And they'll tell me, you know, well, no, and Caleb will tell me. And I mean, it'll be okay, but just the fact that my child knows that if he tells me something, I could tell my mommy and my mommy will
Well, that's important. That's important. That's why a lot of children don't tell their mm-hmm. parents a lot of stuff, because number one, they don't believe them.
Yep.
You know, and but, you know, I couldn't even imagine your child telling you that smack for a snack.
That'd be something you probably wouldn't believe.
No, I mean, I would probably believe. I mean, I would have to investigate it. You know, I'd have to go to school and say, okay, now, did you really have this smack for a snack?
And what
you couldn't deny it because all the kids were there and were part of.
So my thing is, where is the director? Where was the assistant director? Who, I mean, so when you're hiring these people, you just, it doesn't come across you to, like, what is the procedure for that?
Yeah, you don't play with people's kids.
I'd have came in, I said, well, here's my snack. I'd have came in with my snack. And I was smack.
For a smack, yeah, that's some crazy stuff. So last week, if you remember, right before we had to go, we were talking about things that you should never put on your skin. You know, we were talking about, I said people always talking about black don't crack, but I've seen some crack black before. And so we were talking about this, and some of these things were, I couldn't even believe that they were even talking, you know, saying this, that these things were on the list. Number one, hot water. I always thought you're supposed to put hot water on your face.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was supposed to, like, open your pores.
Yeah, and open I your still pores. I've been doing it.
I did it today. I don't know about
look,
this.
That's how right? I open up them. That's how you get that crust out your ass.
It says, this is a very common one, but most people don't know it. Water that is too hot can dry out your skin, mm-hmm. causing an overproduction of oil and acne breakout.
Yep.
You sure they ain't talking about boiling water? Cause
they just said hot water.
Yeah,
that's what they said.
Cause it opens your pores.
This one was weird. Baking soda. Who puts baking soda on their face?
You can put it on your teeth.
He says there are countless at home. Oh, there are countless at home face mask recipes online that contain baking soda, but this pantry staple actually messes with your skin's pH levels, which can open you up to more troubles like skin cancer risk. Mm. Hydrogen peroxide. Now, I've used hydrogen peroxide sometimes. It says hydrogen peroxide can be effective in treating cuts and wounds, but its antibacterial properties should not be applied to your skin. Hydrogen peroxide is very strong and can burn and irritate your face. Mm, mm,
mm. You know, that explains a lot why you look that way, Eric Lee. I'm really starting to think about it. It explains a lot.
Do you want the mute? Do you want the mute?
No, you know what? Continue.
Lipstick. If you're ever caught in a situation where you want a little rouge, you know how some people put, for rouge, they put lipstick on their faces? Mm-hmm. It says, but lipstick is made from a very thick ingredient that will cause a breakout. So you should never put lipstick on your face, ladies. Body lotion. Just use body lotion on your body. The skin on your body is much tougher and thicker than on your face. Putting body lotion on your face can leave a layer of grease on your skin. So you should get, I guess there's facial lotion, mm-hmm. and then there's body lotion. I never knew that. I just thought all lotion were lotion, so mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Petroleum jelly. Some women put petroleum jelly on their cheeks to better hold onto their blush and powder. But petroleum jelly will seriously clog your pores and is very hard to wash out.
I thought that's for when you went to the hood to go fight, you had to put that grease all over your face.
Well, they saying don't do it.
To make sure you don't get no scratches and stuff.
Because you might have scratches and breakouts and acne.
You can have what might be scratches. You won't get no scratches on your face.
They're saying don't do it. We got to take another break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us. We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Talking today before we went to break about things you should not put on your face. And some of this stuff is just blowing me away. Last thing was petroleum jelly. Hard. Now rubbing alcohol. Now, people put this on their face all the time.
I just did that last night.
I can't tell.
On your face?
I can't tell.
I thought maybe on that black neck. But that's what mama used to do to us.
Alcohol is a common ingredient in some toners and other face products. But alcohol is highly but is a highly diluted version made for skin. The rubbing alcohol in your pantry is too strong for your skin and can burn you.
Well, you know, like I said, I had this pimple, and I just thought if I can just, you know,
dry it out,
wipe it. Yeah, I really thought.
You know,
what
and
about
that,
toothpaste?
That causes a blackhead too if you do it early.
That is true.
And you put alcohol on a pimple that's not ready, it'll cause it to turn black and leave a black mark on your face.
Here's one that was crazy. Hairspray. Who puts hairspray on their face?
Everybody who uses it.
Some beauty blogs might suggest applying hairspray to your skin
to treat acne.
But in fact, it can seriously dry out your skin. Never heard of hairspray. Vinegar. Never heard of putting vinegar on your skin. They said that while certain types of vinegar are found in skin products, you shouldn't put it directly on your face. Vinegar acts as a toner inside of some products, but the raw form can burn your skin because it's so acidic.
Now, what? Okay, vinegar on your face?
Yeah. That's
and
weird.
And where did you get these answers from?
This is just, you know, I've came across articles that talk about this. And the last thing is lemon. Like, who puts lemon on their skin? Never put lemon directly on your skin. It will destroy your skin's natural pH levels and can put you at a higher risk of sun damage. Mm. I never heard of putting lemons on your skin anyway, mm-mm, to be honest with you. But, yeah, so.
Oh, I know. People said it'll make you lighter, lemon juice.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Like, if you have, like, an acne scar. I did read that, but I'm like, lemon? You would think that would be, like, very acidic and it would kind of burn your face.
Yeah,
I would think so. What about toothpaste? That's a common thing.
It didn't say anything about toothpaste, but I did hear
says, remember, he's reading not to put up there.
I know. So can you put toothpaste?
Well, I used to hear that toothpaste is good for pimples.
Yes,
like if you would put it on your pimples and stuff. And I used to actually try
I remember we used to have
that.
2 and 3 on the forehead up there. For real, come out, just toothpaste, and it wasn't even just little small circles. It'd be like little toothpaste hanging off. I'm like, how much toothpaste you gonna put up there?
So I found this, and this goes with the things you shouldn't put on your face. 7 signs that you are aging.
Go ahead,
Tanae. Please take note of this. Number 1, shrinking.
What, ears?
So
your head.
It just says shrinking.
You know what?
When you shrink, it says this is a sign of aging.
My grandmother is getting shorter by the day.
Well, there you go. Drooping earlobes.
Yeah, let me tell you. When we went to my son's graduation, it was this guy that was sitting in front of us. I know it wasn't right, but his ears was the size of a newborn baby head.
Oh, my God.
Both.
Well, and maybe.
It was 2 plates on the side of his head.
Are you sure he didn't have those things?
We looked. He was sitting directly in front of us.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, we laughed so hard. Like, we was crying at the graduation. I was like.
Couldn't even pay attention.
No.
Laughing at somebody. Mm-mm. Okay. Sore feet.
Well, I have a fallen arch, so next.
You have a lot more than a fallen arch. Anyway, dry mouth. That's another sign of aging is dry mouth.
What do dry mouth got to do with aging?
It's just a sign of it.
Well, Tanae, you know you good on that one.
Hairless legs and feet.
Well, you did something that you young forever, then, because you ain't got hairless legs.
Hairless legs and feet.
Well, you know what? I am 37 years old, and I have never shaved my legs. I have no hair on my.
Well, I would think that most women wouldn't have hair on their. I'm sure
be seeing people like
about
shave
men.
And stuff, and I be looking like it's something wrong. Like I never had hair.
Maybe
right?
You just like it's a lot of carpet, but maybe you just been rolling around a lot. it's been plucking them off. Or the heat from the undercarriage just been burning them at night.
Whatever.
Number 6, spotted hands. Says spotted hands is a sign of aging. Number 7, disappearing eyebrows.
What? In fresh? You know what? I never had eyebrows.
You know what?
Well, you're getting old. You are aging then.
No. None of my sisters have eyebrows.
Benjamin Button.
Oh, that was a good movie, by the way.
None of my sisters have eyebrows.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Buttons was a very good movie. Yeah, but I thought that was some weird stuff. Eyebrows, disappearing eyebrows.
Where your eyebrows at?
I got eyebrows.
I always see it when he go like that.
Yeah, me too.
Don't even try.
Seriously,
it.
But you know what? Until you just did
lies
that.
You tell.
It could be collected dirt.
Is that why you're so thick and black? Is that why? Yeah, I think so. I want to talk about, there was another police shooting. Wasn't it in LA or something? I think it was in Los Angeles and they're protesting in Los Angeles. I think there was another police shooting. Here's, you know, and let me first start off by saying this, get the facts before you start rioting.
Ooh,
and,
I was scared.
And protest.
She said, get the.
Facts. You know, before you start protesting, know what's, you know what I'm saying, what's what happened.
Well, you know, that's just like if you in a group with a lot of people and two people take off running, you're going to run right with
them. That is true. That is true. Who's that, Cedric the Entertainer?
That's right. You're going to find out what happened 5 blocks up
that
the street.
That thing tickled me. I'm going to tell you, when Cedric the Entertainer said that, oh my God, because it's so true.
It is.
I used to, one of my friends, I remember we were in a movie theater. We were waiting for the movie to start, and he was quiet, and he looked at me, and he said, what do you think people would do if I just took off running out of the movie theater? Yes. I said, everybody would come and exactly. Start running behind you.
Exactly. So that's kind of just, you know, that's kind of hard for us. You know, you follow the leader.
But I just think that you should really get the facts before you start protesting. Because, again, not every officer-involved shooting is some type of, you know, racial thing or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So get the facts first. But then again, in the case of Charlotte, they're going to hold the video, you know, so people were rioting because of that, number one.
And assuming, you know, since they didn't have anything else to go about.
Yeah. We have seen so much police shootings, and I'm just going to call out a few. Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Mike Brown, Freddie Gray, Sandra Bland. She didn't get shot, but she was killed in police custody. And here, Akil Dinkins. Remember, we had Akil. And here's what I wanted to ask the two of you. And I want to get your opinions on this. The question is, why are police shooting so many black people? You know, like, why is this happening?
I think because they are afraid. They're afraid of what we can become, what we're doing, and they're afraid of our potential.
I personally think, I don't think it has nothing to do with them being afraid, because they can. They've been getting away with it, and nothing is going to be done about it. That's just how I feel at this point. You know, if you asked me this a couple years ago, I probably would say, you know, some people just don't know their rights. And that used to be a big issue. But it's not even about knowing your rights. It's not about following directions at this point.
Not for a lot.
Yeah, doing what you're asked to be done, because they can get away with it. Ding, 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 ding. Number one. There it goes.
What are you playing? Family Feud?
That's right. That's number one on the board.
Well, my answer is twofold. And this is what I'll say about it. Number one, and I say this all the time, you've got racist cops on these police forces. I go back again. Those of you who listen to the show, you know, I talked to y'all about the FBI report that said the KKK has infiltrated law enforcement. But the second thing, and again, like you say, Tanae, I think a lot of it is racial bias. I think a lot of it is, you know, them already having this notion about black people. So if I approach one, you know, I'm already going to be on my guard, you know, because I already think that you all are, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, but here's the second reason that I think it's also happening. A lot of police officers have a God complex. And I think that a lot of police officers join the force so that it gives them, they think that badge gives them power over people. So I have a God complex. I'm the law. You must do what I say. You better not challenge me. You know, so when I tell you to do something, you do something. And that's what I think. I think that, you know, how dare you challenge my authority? So I'm just going, you know, I'm going to meet you with force. I'm going to meet you with this gun because, you know, I rule over you. So that's my two reasons why I think. I don't think all cops are racist, and probably not all cops have a God complex, but excuse me, I think that a lot of them do. I really do. And I think a lot of them get on the force because they think that badge gives them the power over people. You better do what I say. You know, how dare you not? You know, if I, you know, till you get out the car, you do it. You know, if you don't, I'm, you know, I'm shoot you.
Yeah, and then I'm telling you, if stuff like this continues to happen, that badge is going to be the reason why you need to be running and protecting yourself, because
I think that's what's happening now.
They're not going to keep taking this mess.
I think that's what's happening. And it's so bad because it makes it bad for, you know, the cops that are serving and protecting.
Absolutely.
You know, now they have to, you know, look, but which they should probably always look, you know, watch out for their back. But it's just it just kind of, that's why I think you can't lump all police officers in the same category, because again, that's like saying all black people are criminals. That's like saying all white people are racist. You can't say all police officers are, you know, dirty.
No, you can't say that. But then you got to still consider this at the end of the day, even if you're not part of them, if you're not on the other side to tell the truth, or, you know, like to defend what's going on, it really doesn't make you no better. Like, I mean, I understand your family's supposed to stick together. Right is right, wrong is wrong. So if you're one of those cops that don't participate in it, but also don't speak up about it, I don't think it makes you any better.
Yeah. But I think we are seeing some, you know, a lot of cops come forth and kind of condemn. Not enough, I think.
No, because they're getting laid off and fired after that. So, I mean, I understand why.
Getting their pensions taken and stuff. Yeah. What needs to be done to foster better relationships between black people and police?
They need to have a diverse police force, because I mean, just think about it. You have these people here who are in unfamiliar areas. Let's kind of say, let's say that maybe I don't know, a white officer is in a Latino neighborhood. You know, they're not going to really too much have respect for that white officer, because, you know, even a black officer, because they don't really know that person. They can't relate to that person. If you have people who are kind of, I'm not going to say like the same race as you, or just like from the same side of the tracks you are, you're more likely to be able to control that area. You know, just like we need more women police officers, we need more Hispanics, we need more, but we need a diverse police force. That way we can have these people and, you know, in these areas policing it, and it won't be such an issue. It won't be racial anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, then if you look at it like that, I mean, I can see the pros and cons with that. You don't want them to feel like you're on equal ground, because you're not. You know what I'm saying? You don't want a Hispanic officer to be in a Hispanic neighborhood,
right,
and they feel like it's equality, because that's not the case. Like, you know, oh, we friends because I'm Hispanic, you're Hispanic, and I'm going to turn my eye, you know, I'm going to turn my head to that. So you don't want to misconstrue, you know, the reason why they're there.
Yeah. There is a mistrust of law enforcement. I mean, it just, you know, there's a mistrust of
and it stems back, for me, I think, to slavery. I mean, they have these.
You know what? Did you hear, what's my boy, Birth of a Nation? What's my boy's name?
I don't know, but you scared me.
What's my boy? Oh, my God, I can't think of his name. But, you know, he was on T.D. Jakes' show, and he was talking about this, and he was saying that the slave catchers were the first law enforcement in the land.
That's right.
He said they sort of, you know, acted like they brought order between the plantations. And he was saying, in just listening to Tane, that's, you know, that's what he was saying about it.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel that way as well, because if you look at it, they've taken these, you know, these men out of the homes.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk more about this when we come back. We'll be back in a moment. Stay right with us. we are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Before we went to break, I had asked the question, what needs to be done to foster better relationships between the Black community and police? And I was just saying that, you know, there's a huge mistrust of law enforcement in the Black community. And we've seen so many times where police are planting evidence, you know, on people, unwarranted stop and search of citizens because of their race. You know, New York had that stop and frisk. They did away with that because they were, you know, it showed that they were stopping more minorities than they were stopping, you know, Caucasian people. But here's what I think. Number one, police need to be held accountable for their actions.
Yep.
And I think that once people start seeing that police are held accountable, I think that, you know, that would kind of, you know, not vindicate, but, you know, like go over better with citizens to see that, you know, you're just not going to get away with just killing people.
And we're not talking about suspended with pay either.
Exactly.
I understand that.
I think better training to learn how to de-escalate a situation. Mm-hmm. Because I really do think that a lot of these shootings can be avoided if officers learn how to de-escalate. It's just funny how they can de-escalate in certain situations and with certain people.
Mm-hmm. How they can tase the Caucasians but shoot the Blacks.
And in other situations, their first thing is to shoot. Mm-hmm. You know, I also think, you know, we had the ex-cop here and, you know, we had asked him a question about why do you guys shoot for the heart or shoot for the head? And he was talking about how their first thought is to eliminate the threat. But still, can't you shoot in the arm? If you shoot me in the kneecap, I'm going down.
It's eliminated.
Right. I'm going down. You know? Or if you
But there are others who will hop.
Well, that's
both
true.
Of them.
But,
shoot both of them.
But you know what? But in that case, then maybe go to the extreme. If me shooting you in the kneecap or the foot ain't taking you down, then maybe, you know.
Yeah, because when Della Reese got shot in her pinky toe.
Really? Really, Ronnie V?
It put her down.
Really? You're going to bring out quick, Harlem Nights
quick
on here.
Quick felt threatened, but he didn't kill her.
No, but he did shoot her crusty, what did it say?
Gnawed off Black crusty.
And another thing I think is police need to get to know the community they swore to protect.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what? That's what I think. Maybe meet some of the residents. Like I see a lot of people, just like the guy, Robert Wagner. He said that how he walked, he spoke to the neighbors, you know, how he had conversations, mm-hmm. you know, with the people in the neighborhood.
You know, in your neighborhood, I was taking my son to the park, and I saw an officer, you know, pull up to the side, and he walked down. And I was like, oh gosh, come on, son, come on. And he said, you know, pass me the ball. And they looked at him like, what?
See?
And he was like, come on, pass me the ball. It's okay, pass me the ball. I mean, he asked like three times. And the guy kind of rolled it to him like, I don't know.
Right, like, are you, yeah.
Yeah,
we
roll
you
it down.
You going to flatten my
ball?
Right,
are you going to say, he threw something at me, so I'm going to pull a gun out.
The guy rolled it to him. And he told him, you know, he started making little shots and stuff. And asking him how they were doing today.
See, that's the kind of thing I'm talking
and
about.
And it builds trust.
Sure
it
does.
Builds a communication.
Sure it does. And, you know, like I said, like maybe have a block party or something.
Oh, hold on. Now you're going to
sponsored by the police department. What are you talking about? Like a barbecue, like a block off the street and have a barbecue.
You always think about food. Have you realized that?
Really, Tanae?
You're always on food.
Really? And you just came up in here with two more slices of pizza?
And you're a gossiper.
I wasn't going to say anything about it, but since you opened your mouth.
You are a gossiper. Okay?
Since you opened your pie hole, I'm going to open mine. You sat up here and just ate two slices of pizza.
I ate a slice of pizza. Thank you very much. I tore it into two pieces, if you must know.
Anywho.
Defamation of character. Get that down.
No defamation of character. This is the truth. This is the truth. But yeah, I mean, you know, like little things like that, you know, that builds trust.
Yes.
You know, in the communities. And I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, me too.
I really do. Let me ask you guys this. What responsibility do you think we as black people have in this? Or do you not think that we have a responsibility in it?
Staying alive to be able to tell the story. It's our responsibility to get out of it alive.
That's what I think. I think, yeah.
And that's sad that answer is sad, but it's the true answer.
It's sad, but it is the truth out here.
I think our responsibility is to teach our young children, you know, don't let them go and be blind to the situation. Let them know, okay, if this were to happen, this is how you should react. This is what you should do.
I think so too. Kind of role play with your
children. I mean, it's sad to say that you have to
especially if you have male
but
children.
But you know what's really, like, bizarre about this whole thing? It's a lot of middle-aged people that are getting gunned down.
Yeah, that's true, too.
It ain't just the youngins.
That's true, too.
It's a lot that's been around the block that should know and still getting shot down.
Yeah.
But they've always been rebellious, probably.
I think both of the things that you guys said, you know how I always say if you get stopped by the police, the only thing really that should be on our minds is getting out alive. I really do think so.
The next time I get stopped by the police, just because of the car I drive, we're going to have some problems.
Okay.
We're going to have some problems. You're right.
Okay.
Now, when you say we're going to have some problems, make sure you got some health insurance. I don't want to be stuck with your bill.
Okay, Ronnie B.
We're going to have some problems. I'm getting named. I'm making phone calls right then and there. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not going through this no more.
Okay, all right.
Did I tell you I got pulled 2 weeks ago?
But you speeding.
I was not speeding. You remember they followed me for 20 minutes?
Okay, but then, you were speeding the second time. You did to
oh,
just
the
tell
second,
us.
The second time I was speeding.
It was more than one?
But listen.
No, she did.
Let me tell you, I was with my daughter. And
that's what it was, her mouth.
And when I realized, like, you know, so I didn't even see the police, like, really. But when I pulled over, I didn't give her no lip. It wasn't no, you know, slick talking or anything like that. I, you know, took ownership. And I said I didn't realize that I was going that fast because I actually thought the speed limit was 45.
And were you on Poole Road?
Yes.
Poole Road is 45.
No, it's 35.
It's 35?
It's 35 until you get... right there, past the Food Lion.
Oh, wow.
No, to be exact,
the state employees, right in between that mark.
It's 35 coming if you come from the Cookout way. But if you start at Taco Bell, it goes 45 from there up.
But look, this is the tricky part. They're catching you in between that slow down mode
because they pulled me over the first time.
How many times you done got pulled over?
Four. But let me
tell you, how many tickets you got?
Four.
Ooh, I ain't got none.
Now, you know, they pulled me over and I was just in shock. And I'm just like,
After the first or the fourth time?
This was the fourth time.
Yes, officer, the speed limit is 45. I was only going 60. How dare you stop me?
Yeah. No, I got a ticket for going 40 in the 35-mile zone.
You were going 5 miles.
And I told the officer.
You know they can ticket you for going 1 mile. Yep. You do know that, right?
Who gonna be that petty?
Yeah, but if I'm riding beside you, how I get a ticket? I'm going the same speed limit.
And the
you
thing
going.
About it is, you guys, I'm driving and I see the car maker. You tell me, ooh, he about to get somebody. And it
yeah,
was me.
You. It was you, right? Yeah.
I was so upset, and I had to politely try to, you know, I'm like, well, no, I'm just 45 because they pulled when they. I should have pulled up right there on the side of the street. I should have just drove right to Taco Bell, look, and stood beside the sign, 45. Mm-hmm. He pointed to the sign that's off of the. I don't know which way that is, but like you make a right by the new gas station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like 35 in here. You know, then the DA told me they're going to reduce it down to me going 37. I mean, I was just like, you know what? You better add some more points on the debt because I ain't going to look like no suck up in here.
Y'all are crazy. I have a question for you. What if you were the child of a rich man and he remarried? He was divorced from your mom. He remarried. Your mother is deceased. And he let you know that he will leave you nothing in his will. Would you be upset?
Was he my real daddy?
Yes, he's your real father.
Yeah, I would be upset.
He wants you to be the executor of his will, but he's not leaving you. He's leaving everything to the new wife.
And you are
That's
the executor.
What happened. That's what happened. To this lady. She talks about how her father told her to be the executor of his will, but he left everything to his wife. And she's upset about it.
And she was still the executor.
Yes.
The what?
Even though he said, you ain't getting nothing.
Correct.
Now, that person just...
Maybe he was joking.
No, he's not joking.
What is the role of the executor?
They make sure that your whatever you want is carried out.
So okay, I have a question. This isn't related to the topic, but just the way Ronnie V. Lips go executor. I mean, just why is
you know
that?
You're petty. You are really petty.
Selfish.
A terrible
friend.
A terrible friend. Yeah. But you know, I would say, and the lady was talking about, she was saying, first of all, I don't need money. She said, you know, I'm not hurting for money. She said, but I'm just hurt that my father is telling me he's not going to leave me anything. She's got children, nothing for the grandchildren or in the will.
This is the part where you pull up. What does she look like?
Well, I wouldn't have been the distributor.
The executor?
Or whatever. Find somebody else to do it. Find somebody else to do it.
Yeah, I think I would be very upset about it. And obviously, he must have a lot of money for her to even be, you know,
I would go
I would take nickels. I better get one of them.
This thing says she don't care if her daddy had two nickels. She better get one of them.
I'm going to make sure I have a life insurance policy out on him.
I don't know, but I think that's terrible. And I would be questioning the new wife. Like why aren't me and my kids in this will?
Why would you question the wife? Question your daddy.
Well, she has questioned the daddy.
So what the new wife got to do with it?
Well, because she might have persuaded him.
What does she look like?
She might have persuaded him. So I don't know. It was a news article, Ariel. I don't know what she looked like. So, you know, I don't know. We got to get out of here. That's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you guys for listening in. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.